Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. A useful thought, and this is all I have wrote down, is the title of the scripture. The rest of it is on him. It's only temporary. Amen. That is the thought for this morning. It is only temporary. Tell somebody, neighbor, whatever it is, it is only temporary. Amen. Thank God for that. The book of 2 Corinthians, Paul gives a whole lot of good detail on some things, especially the trials and tribulation that he himself had went through and many others that he knew, the churches in Asia, places like that, persecution. At one point, I believe, chapter 1, verse 8, talks about how they had been under such distress that they thought they were going to lose their life. They were stretched beyond measure. And so Paul is writing the second letter more so to encourage the church at Corinth because of the things that he had encountered and seen and the things that were going on. The first letter was a letter to kind of get things in order. The second letter is that after you got things in order, you know that Satan is going to attack and there's going to be some trials and tribulations in your life. I dare you to just try to get your life straight. I dare you to say, I'm going to stop this to do this. And watch how the enemy, after you put your mind to be in agreement with God, how the enemy will attack you. And this is why Paul wrote the second letter, to let them know that the enemy's going to attack, but don't give up. If you look at the beginning of this particular chapter, he says that, you know, verse 1 says, we have this ministry. As we receive mercy, we faint not. Now, I looked at that and I realized the reason Paul said that, you know, because, you know, your life is a ministry. You didn't know that, right? I know you thought it was just me, the preacher is supposed to do ministry. No, but your life, how you live, what people see, ministers to them. When they see you go through and you're able to stand, that ministers to them. Amen. Now, also, you can minister something opposite of what you confess. you act the fool, okay, that's what you just ministered. Y'all still with me here? So verse 1 says, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy. And Paul said, look, I got this ministry, we have this ministry, and we've received mercy, so therefore we are not going to give up heart. Don't lose heart in what you're going through because for ministry's sake. Your life is a ministry. And so Paul talks about some stuff. He says, look, since we set some stuff in order, he said there's going to be some dishonesty. People walking craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully. There's going to be some people that try to take advantage of you. There's going to be people who are not going to be for your best interest. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, we got a lot of people around us, but the question is, how many of them are truly out for your best interest? Many people are there for what they can pull from you, but not too many are there to see what's best for you. Come on and say amen. And so he said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do right in the sight of God. Then he talks about the gospel and how it should not be hidden, but it should be shined. It should shine and go forth. And he also goes on to talk about how we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Verse 7. Now, that is a message in itself, because verse 7 lets us know that the word of God, the treasure of God, abides in each one of us. And he says that it's in this earthen vessel, meaning that even though we're made up of flesh, even though we're made up of the dust of the earth, this vessel here has a treasure on the inside. Now, I know some of you thought that you wasn't worth a whole lot. And maybe somebody said you're no good. But it doesn't matter, because you have a treasure on the inside of you. Come on and say amen. Y'all just going to stab me today. He said you have a treasure on the inside. And the thing about the treasure is that the only way the treasure can get out is if sometime it's squeezed. And sometimes we'll squeeze to a point that it don't feel good. And we're pressured to a point. You know how it is that you got, you ladies, you got that good smelling Victoria's Secret lotion. Or either men, you got that toothpaste, hope you're using it. Amen. So, but you have to what? You have to press it. You have to squeeze it in order to get it out, whatever it is you got. And so in order to get to the goods, you sometimes have to squeeze it. And sometimes God allow you to be squeezed. He allow you to be pressured so that the treasure on the inside, what I really want, I didn't want the container, but I want what's on the inside. And see, sometimes you think people really want what they see on the outside of you. No, they really want what's inside. Even the devil want what's inside. I wish I had somebody here. He said we have this treasure. And so the only way this treasure can get out is if either it's squeezed, or maybe even if it's ripped, even if it's, come on and say, man, sometimes we go through a beating and we seem to be broken and we seem to be ripped open, but the treasure that's on the inside of us is valuable. Goes on to talk about how we are all troubled. We all go through trials. You know, And sometimes this war is me, people, you got to stop it. Because you're not the only one going through it. This why me, people, everybody go through it. Everybody go through it. I heard a guy repeat it, but I had heard it before. This guy, a writer by the name of J. Vernon McGee, preacher, he said, they asked the question, why do good men suffer? And he answered and said, there aren't any good men. Even Jesus said, why callest thou me good? Oh, y'all don't hear me now. There aren't any good men. If we were so good on our own, we wouldn't do some of the stuff that we do. So when you say, why me? Why some of the stuff we did? We ought to thank God again, what it says in verse 1, that by his mercy, we faint not. Okay, all right. I know some of y'all didn't like that. He says, with trouble on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, not despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not what? Destroyed. In other words, you're going to go through stuff, but the things that you go through are not going to destroy you. They're going to make you greater. They're going to make you better. They're going to make you stronger. He said that that when we go through our trial and our tribulation, the trying of our faith work is what? Patience, and patience, experience, and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. In other words, God will not disappoint us when we go through. just want to be where he is. And sometimes where he is may not be comfortable, but guess what? Where he is worth me being there, because I know he'll be, as David said, the source of my strength, the strength of my life. He'll be my hiding place, my secret place. He'll be my fortress. And so I have to understand that we're going to go through. We're going to tell somebody, you're going to go through. I know you thought you wasn't, but you're going through something. Every person that ever, Job said this, man is born of woman. And in a few days, for all of us have trouble. But how do you handle that? What do we do about the trouble? Do we, you know, throw our hands up and faint? Paul said, we have this ministry, we what? Faint not. We're not to lose heart because we see problems come our way. I know issues come, and sometimes they come one after the other. One, there's something for Monday, something for Tuesday, something for Wednesday, something for Thursday, and we can't wait till Friday come because we can lay in the bed on Saturday. Come on and say, man, and think about our issues. All to start over the next week and have a new group of issues. Some of us come and we don't even lay our burdens down. Okay, all right. He says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 says, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our body the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifested in what? Our body. There's going to be suffering. And the suffering, you're going to feel it. That's why sometimes you feel stressed. Y'all hear me? And you start to feel it in your body. But you say, I'm going to hang on in there. Come on and say amen now. He said that, in other words, he said we have to take up our cross and what, die with? Daily. We have to do something daily. And so every day I bear the marks in my body. Every day I'm showing that I've been crucified with him. Oh, he says, look, verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. For the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He said, every day we're delivered up to death. And that ain't a day that you don't wake up and there might be something that might take you out. That's why the older people would say, through danger seen. And unseen. I may not know what's around me. I may not know what's happening. But what I do know is that all night, all day, he watches. The angels watches over me, my Lord. Y'all get what I'm saying here? But then he talks in verse 12. He says, so death working in us, but life in you. Even though I'm pressured, even though what I go through, what I'm going through is blessing someone else. What I'm dealing with is helping someone else. Even though it looks like I'm dying, but life, it gives life to someone else to see you when you're walking around and look like you should be dead. You should have been taken out. You should have been, I should have thrown in the towel, but I didn't. Now, it gives life to someone else. You feel like you're half dead because you've been beaten by the enemy because he's hit you over and over, and you feel like I'm just half dead. But when somebody else looks at you, it gives them life. Let me talk to the millennials. You know how you send somebody a message, say, give me a life and you're on your game? Yeah, we need to do that. We need to start giving some people some lives. Send me one. Y'all still with me now? So he says, verse 13, he said, we have the same spirit of faith. That's where some of our problem lies sometimes, is that our faith, we don't have the spirit of faith. You know, we try to practice steps in order to increase our faith. When God never tells us to just practice steps to increase our faith, he tells us that we ought to have the spirit of faith. And see, and if there's a spirit of faith, that means you got to receive that. I know. believe, and therefore I have spoken. So your faith, your trust, your belief, what you trust God for, what you believe God for, helps you. Amen? So he says in verse 14, now I'm told where I want to be. Now knowing that he which raised it up, the Lord Jesus, shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So what is he saying? He said, knowing this, I need to know that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, he's the one that's concerned. The work basically is not ours. The work is his. It's not your job to raise yourself up. It's not your job to get yourself through it. He is responsible. Do you know God is a responsible God? He's not a God that is irresponsible, but he knows where you are. He knows what you're going through, and he knows how to raise you up from where you are. Amen. Look at this. He says the word present right there is peristome. What it means is to be beside or near. Don't you know that he'll present us or be beside us? He's near us and we're near him. And there's no longer, you know how it is when you seem to be by yourself, but as long as you got somebody nearby, then you're all right. Then that's what we need to understand. You're not, and all this, I'm by myself, and it's us against the world stuff. Y'all Christians shouldn't be saying that. It ain't you against the world. God is with you always, even until the end of the world. Come on and say amen. All of that is just somebody looking for attention. Me against the world, then everybody want to know, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you is you need the spirit of faith. What's wrong with you is you need to know that God is and that God can and that God will. Come on and say amen. Everybody ain't against you. God is for you. Amen. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That's scripture, right? And so we need to declare what he said. And so in saying what he said, we have what? Faith. He said, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving redound to the glory of God. He said, all things, whatever we go through and whatever you go through is for somebody. All things that happen, happens for a reason. That's what we always used to say, and then we ask why. But we know that it's for his reasoning, amen. The Bible said all things, Romans chapter 8, all things work together for who? For the good of them that what? Love God. See, and that's the problem. You need to check whether or not you love him. Do you really love him, or do you love him for stuff, or do you love him for him? Hallelujah. That's truth right there. I know that hurt, but it's truth. Check why you love God. Do you love him for what he can give you because he come in the nick of time? Do you love him because he may not come when you want him, that he's always on time? But what if he don't come at all? And you still have to go through your trial. Can you still love him? What if they did everything to you and, you know, talked about you like a dog? And come on and say amen. Call you everything but a child of God. And there was no justice for it. Can you still love him? Do you know how to be hungry? Can you still love him when you're hungry? You know how to be broken, still love him? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Or do we love him because he can give us what we need in the time that we need it? We need to ask the question, is it things that make us serve God, or is it because our heart is after God because he first loved us? Questions that we need to answer. Not questions to God. Question yourself. He says that for all these, for us, for your sake, that we go through these things. And he said that the abundant grace, that means that grace in abundance, that means more grace than you can imagine. I wish I had somebody. He says that it may through thanksgiving. Now, here's the thing. I looked at that. I said, now, I know we have grace, but he says now, grace through what? Thanksgiving. So we need to learn how to praise God and thank him through all that we go through. And through thanksgiving, he said, a many redound to the glory of God. So if I want this added grace, if I want God to keep just pouring it on me, come on and say, man, you want God to pour it on you? We always say, God, pour out your spirit. We want God to pour on us something, and if we want God to give us this grace, this abundant grace, amen, this charis, this, what the word means is, the word charis, it also means to have enabling power. If God enables you to be able to overcome your trial, God enables you to go through it. And look, if he enables you to go through it, why complain? Because you're you're going to get through it. When you know that you're going to make it through, why complain while you're in it? Because I know that I'm going to make it through. But we want to tell everybody what happened and how bad off we was. No, I'm quiet. You know why? Because I know that it won't always be like this. What's the topic of the message? It's only temporary. That's what he said, that we have to understand that the stuff that we go through, they're only going to be for a little while. And so while I'm in it, I know that the Lord is teaching me. He's training me. He's testing me. He's building me. Something is happening to my benefit. And so while I go through my trials, I'm just going to hold on because I know something. You know something. You know how it is when it seems that you appear to be losing, but you got a secret weapon. Ah, come on and say amen. You know how it is when it seems like it ain't going your way, but you got something in the arsenal that you ain't played yet. You know y'all card players. You know how it look like you're losing, but you got this card that you're just waiting to play. Okay, domino players. You know how it is that if you seem like you're losing, but you got all the fives in your hand. You're going to win. You're thinking, I'm going to come back from this. And that's the attitude we need to take when it comes to our problems and trials, stuff we encounter in the world, is that I got something that the devil don't know I got. I got this abounding grace. I got more than what he thought I had. When he came in, he thought I only had this much, but he ain't even seen what I really got, because what I got ain't on the surface. See, some of you put your feelings on your eyelashes and on your shoulder. Everything you got is on the surface, but you got to stop putting everything on the surface and make them wonder, is that getting to them? Is that going to hurt them? Make them wonder. Maybe I said that it ain't worked that time. It worked last year, but this year, look, you got to tell somebody. I dare you to get you some paper, a sticky note, and put on your button and say, this button is out of order, because they've been pushing the same buttons and causing you to act the same way. You've been crying about the same stuff. And so I dare you to tell the devil, this button is out of order. You can push all you want, but I'm going to stand right here. You can press all you want. I'm not going to move from this. I'm going to stay on the faith. I'm going to stand on the will. I wish I had a few people in the house that realize that we can't be moved every time somebody say something and feel some kind of way, every time they don't speak like we think they ought to, and every time they look at us funny, we think that they got something against us. Quit being paranoid and be faithful. Get you some faith and say, I know that I got the abundant grace. Come on and say amen. The abundance of grace might through thanksgiving of many redound the glory of God. Redound the glory of God. The word redound is the word paresio in the Greek. And it means to go beyond a fixed number. What's the level of pressure that you can stand? You know how you go to the doctor, they have these smiley faces, and 0 to 10, what's your pain level? And if it's 10, they want to work you down to a 5 before they let you go. Y'all know what I'm saying? So the question is, what's your level? Well, to the word redound means that you can go beyond the 10. That's what it means. It goes beyond a fixed number. The enemy say you can only handle this. But God's grace say you can go beyond. See, you set a number saying that this is all I can take. I can't take no more. One more thing. This is the last straw. That's my last nerve. You set a number, but God say you can go. And that's why every time you say that, the next thing happened. And you say, oh, there it go. Well, guess what God is saying? You thought that you couldn't take no more, but you ain't got a choice. Here's another number. You got to go up on the scale. And you, oh, come on and say, man, you don't know how much pressure you can take. You don't know how much power you got until you get under pressure. Do you know the reason why you have power in your vehicle? It determines how powerful your vehicle is. from the combustion in the engine and the engine combustion chamber. How much pressure you can have in your combustion chamber determines how many horses you got under the hood. I wish I had somebody. And so all I'm trying to say is that when God, I don't care how small it is, I don't care how small you are or great you are, but how much pressure you got on the inside that you're able to contain and hold, that determines how powerful you can become. And so when I'm looking at what my number is, you know, I don't know what my number is. I don't really know how much I can take. You've been lying, talking about I can't take no more, and something else happened and you take that too. Guess what God is saying? He's telling you, you can take anything that I see. I won't put no more on you than you can bear, because I know how big your shoulders are. I built the shoulders. I know how much you can take. I made you strong like you are. I wish I had somebody. And he said, when you can't be strong, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do I have anybody? Tell somebody it's only temporary. Oh, I know you thought your number was fixed. But God said, I got another dial. I got something, you know, your knob has been stripped. You can go a little higher than what you thought. Hallelujah. He said, redound to the glory of God. My number, whatever it is, my limit goes beyond. And since I go beyond the number and the limit, it is because of the glory of God. And see, that's why, you know, on certain levels, we can handle certain things. I got this. Yeah, I got that. Oh, it ain't nothing. I got it. I can handle it. But then it gets to a point that you can't handle yourself. And you need the glory. But that's why Paul said, when he prayed about this thorn in his flesh, he prayed about the thorn in his flesh, and God spoke to him after the third time, because Paul was at his number. And he said, my grace is sufficient, and my strength is made perfect when you're weak. And then Paul said, well, therefore I glory in my infirmities. Since God, you said that you got it, I glory in my infirmities. I praise him when I'm going through. I testify and let him know that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Hallelujah. I'm going to close out. I got to go. He said in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Now, the reason why I don't faint, I know you lied and told people because you prayed right. But tell the truth, you couldn't pray right if you wanted to while you went through it. Some days your prayer became repetitive while your mind was on something else. Come on, tell the truth. But here's why. Verse 16 gives us the reason. He said, for which cause we faint not. What's the reason? Because God's glory covered me. Because you know, when God's glory covers you, you're weak, but then you look strong. When God's glory covers you, you're about to pull out your hair, but instead God hold your hands up so you'll worship him. Oh yeah, when it seems like you're about to faint and fall out, maybe you do, but God makes it look like you're laying out before him praying. His glory covers us. Oh yeah, thank God for the glory. Tell somebody, thank God for the glory. Because when I was weak, he made me strong. Yeah, when I was down, he lifted me up. When I looked down, he was the lifter of my head. Oh, I wish I had somebody that said, I was stuck, but God delivered me. Do I have any witnesses here? When we look at what God did for this cause, we faint not. Oh, we faint not. And when we look at the word faint, mean passed out, quit, throw in the towel, stop. I didn't stop because God's glory came and empowered me, covered me, picked me up. I couldn't pick myself up. Oh, hallelujah. Let me go on. I got to get finished. He said, but though the outward man perish, yet the